What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Who is Pastor Elwood and how did we find him? This episode of In the Water podcast is going to be featuring our revival pastor, Pastor Elwood. He has brought so much joy into our lives as he goes around with us, traveling with KG Ministry and bringing the Word of God to life. Today we're going to be talking about his story, how we found him, and we even go into some subjects that most pastors don't want to talk about, like demons. Before we dive into our podcast, I do want to say that we will still be having the North Carolina revival. God has already made the plans. This is his revival. And as long as we're able to get there, then good Lord willing, we will still have the revival. My heart goes out to all the people devastated by this hurricane. We actually still don't even have power where I'm at. We're on day 4 of no power. But nevertheless, we are just blessed. There's a lot of people waking up today without a home, with lost ones, with lost pets, and a lot of traumatic things that happened with this hurricane. So our hearts go out to everybody in North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, all the places that were hit by these storms and devastated these areas. We thought really hard about canceling this revival. This is our 16th revival, and we've not ever had to cancel nor postpone a one of them. This one was dangerously close to being canceled or rescheduled. But unfortunately, the flyer has circulated for so long, we were fearful that someone would show up and we wouldn't be there. So no matter what the circumstances are, as long as we are able to get there in our car, we will be there for anybody who shows up at North Carolina Revival. My apologies to anybody who had plans to come there and can't now. We do understand that the roads are terrible. We also understand that the airports are not going to be very pleasant in those areas. So if you need to postpone this and come to a different revival, please by all means put your safety first. If anything changes with the location between now and this weekend, we will make sure to let you know on all of our social media platforms about the location. Keep an eye out for updates on all of our platforms. Now let's start the podcast with Elwood. I am so excited for you to get to know him a little better. Elwood is somebody that is very important in my life. When I was looking for a revival preacher, he was the one God sent. So I'm very excited for you to get to know him, hear his story, and why he now travels with KG Ministry. I hope you enjoy this episode of In the Water podcast. This is Pastor Elwood. Most of y'all have probably already seen his face all over the revival videos, but today I want to talk to him about his testimony, and I want to explain how I met him and how he came to be our revival pastor. So first and foremost, welcome, Pastor Elwood.
Thank you very much.
He's not nervous at all. We're very excited to have him here. He's changed my life, and I want to explain how I met him. I knew that God was pushing me to revival. He kept showing me this vision of this big white tent, and there was a Southern gospel songs playing, and there was this man's voice that was so heavily anointed coming from the tent. And so I started searching for the tent first, right? I'm like, where's this revival? And so I would just be looking it up and trying to find where this revival was. I found one in Texas, almost flew there.
Oh my.
And God said, that's not it. And I said, okay, I'm waiting. My kids walked into a card shop in Lexington, Kentucky. And there was a man there, and we just got to chit-chatting. And he showed me this picture of his farm out of nowhere. We wasn't talking about revival or nothing. And he showed me this picture on his iPad of this farm, and I started crying. And he started crying. He didn't even know why he was crying. He was crying, and I was crying. And I said, that's where the revival's going to be. And he just kind of looked at me and nodded his head, you know, and I said, I've had visions of a revival, and it's going to be here. And then he, obviously, we talked and got permission. So then it comes time to find the tent. Well, we found the tent very easily. Someone donated it for the day. And then it was finding the preacher. And so we were attending this one church at the time down the road. And we were having some conflict in the church, you know, with what we're doing. Some people don't want to take it outside those four walls. Mm-hmm. They want it to stay contained. Yeah. And we were having issues. And so we decided to move on to try to find another church. So around the time that we were church hopping, we would go here and we would go there. And it just, it wasn't right. And then we came to your church. Mm. Well, your son's church. Yeah. But he's the head pastor there. But it just so happened that you were preaching. And I was crying. And you was probably like, this girl is crying before I've even started. But I knew from your voice, I recognized your voice. And I knew that was who God was showing me was supposed to be the revival pastor. And now I had to ask you. And so I was too scared that day. I went home and I prayed about it and just had confirmation after you taught your lesson. It was, what manner of a man is this? Mm-hmm. And yeah. It stuck with me so deeply. And I knew it was you. But I prayed on it and I said, give me courage and I'll go back there. And next Wednesday, I'll ask him. And so next Wednesday rolled around and I put my big girl pants on and I was like, excuse me. And I just told you, I said, we're having a revival and I want you to pastor it. And I'm pretty sure you said, is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
And I was excited and I was ready, but I also was, you know, this was my first revival. Mm-hmm. Everything was in God's hands. It was all his plans, not ours. But you still had to say yes. It was up to you. And you said, if you want me there, I'll be there. And yeah. I said, well, I want you there.
Yeah.
So June 1st rolls around, and we get there, and it was something that neither one of us expected.
No.
It was...
Absolutely not.
It was beyond words, but I want to talk about how you felt at your first big, big, huge revival like that. What was your take on the first Kentucky revival?
Well, after I told you I'd be there, somebody asked me, said, do you know what you got yourself into? And I said, absolutely not.
Nope.
But I said, I'm ready to dive in. Yeah. And so showed up there and seen these people around there. And people kept telling me, said, there's probably going to be 1,000 people there. Have yeah. you ever preached before 1,000 people before? I said, nope. And, but anyway, it showed up there, cars everywhere and people lined up on the creek bank and, sat there for a while. And, then you got up and prayed and announced and talked there for a little while. And then you said, I'm getting in the water. And so everybody started leaving.
I know. I thought
to myself, what am I doing here then? But then they all started coming back and then the line, come right down beside mm-hmm. the tent.
Yep.
And I think I preached on that day, the woman at the well.
Yeah.
And people were just, they were just focused in. They was yeah. they was locked in, even though they were standing in line and getting ready to go down and be baptized. They was just locked in. And mm-hmm. people sitting in the chairs and standing around outside. And it was just absolutely fantastic. But the best thing that was there was the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I mean, Amen. He was all over mm-hmm. that place.
Yes.
And it made it so easy.
Mm-hmm.
It took all the nerves away, I guess mm-hmm. what you might say. And the words just flowed.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely a wonderful experience that when I left there after dark that night,
mm-hmm.
showed up about 10:30 that morning. Left there after dark at night, and I thought about that and thought about that, and then I got thinking about the people
yeah.
that comes, and once they're baptized, it seemed like the weights of the world
mm-hmm.
is just lifted off of them.
Yeah.
And they're so happy. They're free.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, them that I set free is free indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to be free.
Yeah.
But I had myself a ball at that revival, And I've missed two of them,
yep.
But I've got to go to two other ones, and I've had myself a time, and I have enjoyed it. And, you know, I wondered after I had stepped down from pastor, going to my son's church, what was I really going to be doing?
Yeah.
And then you showed up. You know, who would have ever thought?
Yeah.
But I have flat out enjoyed myself. But more than anything, I love to see the people get delivered.
I know.
Get delivered.
I know. Me too. The Kentucky one, you know, that was our first Kentucky one, but now we've had two. So we've had two Kentucky ones, and the last one we had was, it's so different in a lot of ways because God has shown us what to do. He's shown us what our positions are and how to help free his people. You know, we're the vessels. We're the ones that have to be willing to say, here's my hands and feet. And now the last one, I looked up at one moment, Elwood had a chain and he was shaking that chain. And I was like, yeah, go Elwood. And I just remember before I got in the water, I was filled with just so much joy that you did say yes, that you gave up whatever you had thought you were going to do the rest of your life. And you just said, okay, like this is what the Lord wants me to do. I've been commissioned and here we go.
Yeah.
A lot of people at retirement age would just be like, I got coffee to drink and porches to sit on.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, and I never expected you to come to Colorado. I don't know if I told you that, but I never expected you to want to come to Colorado.
Oh, my.
And when I told you about Colorado, you text me and you said, I want to go to Colorado. And that was it. Mm-hmm. And you were all in. There was no hesitation. There was no wishy-washy. You were all in. The
Absolutely.
Lord needed you and you were ready.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned a chain. I brought that morning. Yeah. But then when you got up that morning at the revival at Carlisle, and you mentioned Jesus Christ as a chain breaker. And I knew then that it was right. Sometimes you take these things, you don't know if it's exactly right, but when you mentioned that, it was right for the chains to be broken off the people.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people, they don't have the physical chains on them, but they have the spiritual chains.
Yes.
And that's where it's so vitally important to lead them to Jesus Christ, where he can break the chains, those spiritual chains, off of their life.
Amen.
And we've got a world of people out there that is walking around with the spiritual chains that is up on them. And they, and if you could just see them or look in the spiritual realm and see these things, it would be unbelievable.
Yep.
Unbelievable. But I knew when you said that, it was on.
It was on.
It was
you
on.
Was ready for those chains.
Yes, I was.
Come off people.
That's right.
I was ready too. And when I saw that, I knew. I'm like, you know, you're on fire. I don't think you know how on fire you are. But when we were in Colorado, my best friend was there, Rose Nama Eunice.
Yeah.
And she was, I couldn't find her, first of all. She was supposed to come in the water with me. And I'm like, where did Rose go? And I'm looking everywhere for Rose. And I stood there, and one of our volunteers come up to me, and they're like, Kayla, what are you waiting on? And I'm like, I'm waiting on Rose. They're like, Rose is right there. And she was sitting down with her whole family and her friends and just watching you.
Oh, my.
And you were preaching, and they were just so in the moment. I almost didn't want to come and say anything to her. But she was sitting there, and she was cross-legged, and she was like this. And I'm like, okay, I got to go get her. It's time for her to come in the water. But I sat down, and she said, this is amazing. And I'm like, I know. And she had, you know, went to church before, but she had long time got out of church. Mm-hmm. And church wasn't on her radar. It wasn't somewhere she wanted to be. It hurt her.
Yeah.
You know, church hurt is so real. There's a lot of people that struggle with that.
Yeah.
And they see it more as, you know, the devil run them out of the church, basically. Mm-hmm. And Rose, for her and her whole family now, they're all going to church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they saw a preacher that was actually still for God. Someone that wasn't judging or condemning. And you were just teaching them about the right ways of the Bible. And it was enough, you know, and I think that's part of the problem with the churches today is that a lot of them, they're not there to bring the people to Jesus. They're there for a routine or just a routine they've slipped in. And so when I saw you and you were on fire and then seeing people respond to you, you know, these people in line, they're just, they don't care if they have to wait their 6 hours. They're there because they're ready for Jesus.
Absolutely.
And when they're watching you and they're waiting in line, and they're listening, and they're crying, they're responding, they're feeling the Holy Spirit, and it's you preaching, you know, you showing them the love of Jesus in those moments. Yeah. And, you know, no matter what they've done in churches, that churches have hurt them, you restore that. In that moment of them seeing a man of God, it restores that for them.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot of reason we have a lot of people out of church today, because they've been hurt in church. I don't think going to church ought to be a sad thing.
Yeah, no.
It ought to be a joyful thing. Some of these churches I've been in and I've preached in, you couldn't get an amen out of them if you stuck them with a hat pin. You know, some of them needs a Mississippi squirrel turned loose in them, you know, see if they've got any spirit or what at all, you know.
Yes.
But church ought to be a place of joy because you're going to hear about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And being preached about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ can do for you. You know, he's already talked about, he can set you free.
Yes.
And free from the bondages, free from the shackles and chains. Mm. And I'm afraid that people has got this demeanor about them that well, I'm just going to go to church to be going to church, and I'll go back to church just because we go do that.
Yeah.
It's just a hereditary or whatever you want to call it. But I think people ought to be happy instead of looking like a mule eating whizzer bars. You know, I really do. But be joyful. I don't care a bit when my son's preaching or anybody else to stand on my feet and raise my hand and say, praise the Lord, you know. We need that this
we
day and time.
We do need that.
Because the world has just about stolen it out of there.
Yeah.
They've about stolen the victory from the people.
Yeah.
And the Christians ought to be victorious. They ought to be the happiest people in the world. They certainly should. And and so I just love these revivals that we go on. And I've got addicted.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I've got addicted to them. And I've got addicted to see the people set free. But through Jesus Christ, we can have more joy than we can ever imagine if we would just accept Him, live by Him, let Him lead us and guide us through the Holy Spirit. And we can be victorious in this world that's gone mad trying to please itself.
Ooh, that'll preach. I think you hit the nail on the head. There's so many people out there that are searching for pleasurish things, and it's temporary. They're finding temporary pleasure in whatever it may be because it won't sustain you. It won't fill the void that you have unless you have the peace of Jesus Christ. Like, Jesus is who gives us peace. So Colorado, that one was very special in a lot of ways.
That was a sight to behold for this little boy from Cobb Hill, Kentucky, you know. I've seen pictures of Colorado and the mountains and things like that, but I never dreamed I'd ever be there.
Yeah.
And so when Walt and I and his two boys went up there, what a fantastic time. I think Michael went with us as well.
Yep. All the men.
Yeah. And we got up there and we kept climbing and climbing and climbing. And I think we ended up about 12 miles above sea level or something like that.
Wow.
Above the tree line. But it was absolute beautiful to look at those mountains. And still had some snow up there in some of those places. And so we got up there and I think Waylon wanted to see an elk.
That's my son.
And yep. Finally, as we was going up there, Walter or one of the kids may have said, there's an elk. Yeah. And so we seen it walk down over the hill. And we went on around and pulled off and looking down. And there was a whole herd of elk down there. But I could understand now. An old preacher from West Virginia told me if I was younger, he said I'd sell everything I had and go to Colorado, move to Colorado, because he loved those mountains. And those mountains is special. They're just absolutely special. I'll tell you what, it was beautiful. And the roads going up there, they didn't have no guardrails or nothing, so I'm glad Walt had a hold of the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel, you know? But I'll tell you what, it's something that I'll never forget. And who knows, maybe one of these days we'll be back out there and we can climb them mountains again.
Amen.
But I really, really enjoyed it. The Lord blessed us that day tremendously. And it's something I'll never forget.
It's funny you say we should go again. There was so many people after we left there in the comment section. We didn't know you were in Colorado. I mean, so many people have asked me, when are you coming to Colorado? I'm like, we just left. So I definitely think we will be back to Colorado. Yeah.
Revivals, I just love revivals.
I know you do.
I do. And I can't help, I fall in love with the people.
I know.
You know, just those folks that we see come to the water and everything. And you spend a very little short time with them, but you just fall in love with them.
Yeah, you do.
And because you care about them, you care what's happening in their lives. And and the victorious thing is when you see them with their face shining like the noonday sun when they come out of that water.
Yeah.
With their hands outstretched and just praising the Lord. They've had the shackles and chains dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love revivals.
I do too. I love reading the testimonies. All the testimonies of things that you wouldn't quite believe until you've seen them in person. And then it's like, wow, like Jesus freed you, truly, you know? And
absolutely.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So after North Carolina, then we'll be going to Texas.
Texas.
Have you been to Texas yet?
I've never been to Texas, and I'm looking forward to seeing that place.
Yeah, me too. I think it's going to be big from what I've heard. And then we got Florida, and then after Florida, we'll have a pause to see where the Lord leads us. And, you know, we do get pulled a lot of places. We have people in the comments that will say, come here, come there. It's a needs everywhere.
Yeah. My first revival. And it came out of the wild blue yonder.
Yeah.
And I didn't even have a church. I was attending church. I wasn't a pastor then. But a lady walked up to me and she said, Elwood, said, why don't you have a revival?
Okay.
And I thought, how am I going to have a revival? I don't have a church. I don't have a pew. I don't have no chairs. I don't have no pulpit. I don't have anything. And I began to pray. And I said, Lord, I said, if I'm somewhat of a Gideon, I said, I want to know for sure. And I said, if you'll tell me, or if you have somebody else tell me to have a revival, I said, I'll have it. I didn't know how I would have it, but I said, I'll answer the call.
Wow.
And I went to the funeral home to visit a friend that had passed away and walked out of that funeral home and walked outside. And this lady was standing out there and said, Elwood, said, when are you going to have a revival?
Ooh.
I'm telling you what, I like to pass out. And
that's a bad place to pass out there, Elwood.
That's exactly right. But anyway, I went home and I said, Deb, I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, this such and such person, a lady down at the funeral home, asked me, said, when am I going to have that revival? And I said, Deb, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But it went on, and I got some friends where we was going to church at, and I had a good friend, and he said, Elwood said, I can get a tent for you. He said, I'm in the National Guard. He said, I can get a tent. He said, we can set you up a tent.
Wow.
I said, that sounds like a plan right there. I said, let's get it. So didn't have no chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And so went to see Brother Sizemore, and he loaned me 90 chairs.
Wow.
And so we set up the tent. Put the chairs around under it. I said, we don't have any song books. And I knew this old church back in her own Patsy that I'd preached homecomings once a year in. Didn't have any electricity with 2x4 seats. And I called them and asked them about the song books. And they said, certainly you can use those song books.
Wow.
So we got over there and the church door was locked. They was the keepers of it. And the gentleman said, well, said, I've got a bunch of keys at the house. Said, I'll go home and get them. And he brought those keys out there and went all the way around that lock, and not one of those keys would work. He said, I got another set at the house. Said, I'm sure it's in that set. So he goes back to the house and brings the other keys back. And he tried that lock, and not one of them would fit that lock.
Well,
he said, I've got some more at the house. I don't know what he was doing all these keys. But anyway, while he was gone, I placed that lock in the palm of my hand and went around that key, and one of them slipped in there just like it was made for it.
Wow.
And I turned that key and that lock popped open. And we didn't think nothing about it. We went into church, gathered the song books up, and the gentleman came back and he said, I see you found the key to that lock. And I said, yeah. I said, it's on this keychain here. Well, he said, which one is it? I said, I have no idea. I said, we'll just find out. We'll just lock it back and take the keys and go back around. I said, we found one. We did that three times, and not a one of those keys fit in there.
Wow.
Not a one. And so we got all that, and then we didn't have a pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
And another guy told me, he said, I got a pulpit sitting in the woods. The woods of all
wow.
places. And he said it could use a little work, but he said, you're welcome to it. So I go over and get the pulpit, bring it back. And we didn't have an altar. So I went down to my grandmother's house and pulled up some tuba tins. That's a half a mile away. And made an altar, put some old carpet over it, and made an altar there. And so I got all those friends that helped me. I said, we want to anoint this tent, every chair in it, the pulpit and everything, because we don't know where it's been, what's been done under it, what's been said under it. We want it godly. Mm-hmm. And so they came up, and we anointed that tent and everything. Anyway, it went on. We had that revival the first night. We had it in my front yard. The first night, we had 37 people.
Wow.
The second night, we had 50-some people.
Wow.
And the Lord said, have it 3 days. And
yeah.
that's what I was going to do. The third day, we had 80 people in my front yard. And some of them were so sick, they couldn't even get out of their vehicles. They pulled their vehicles up beside the tent
wow.
and listened to the word of the Lord. And after that was over with, why, everybody had left. And so, but I got ahead of myself. I was broke. I was unemployed.
Yeah.
Had a mortgage, car payments, three kids put through school, and we were just flat out broke. I got an old electric cord and went through the sock drawers to find some money to go down to Meade's Do It Center to buy some pigtails where I could cut electric cord into where we could have lights in there.
Wow.
And but after that revival was over with, at 1:30 in the morning, the Lord woke me up, and I went out, got up and got dressed and went outside, and I turned the lights on under that old tent. And that day, we had a monsoon just about come through, and the fog was raising up out from under the hill. And when I turned the lights on in that tent, where every hole that was in that tent is like a bead of light come out through there.
Oh, wow.
It was absolutely beautiful.
Wow.
And I could kick myself for not taking a picture, but I didn't. But I've got it in my mind.
Yeah.
And that's the first revival that I ever had.
Wow.
And it was something else. It was something else.
How old were you then?
Oh, my. I was only in my probably late 30s.
So the Lord has called you to revival about your whole life.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, certainly is.
Yeah.
I announced my calling in 94.
Wow. That is incredible.
So here we are.
Here we are. Like now, this is, I don't know how many revivals you've had since, but it's been
my.
A lot.
Yeah.
Because you, so when I found you, you were going to revivals all around the area. Like you were still going out and you were still,
yeah.
even though you call yourself retired,
yeah.
which by the way, you need to redefine that word. You are not retired.
No.
But you know, retirement, a lot of people do, they just kind of give up, you know, they say, well, I've done enough, but you're just really getting started. Like you are ready.
I'm looking for the later years of my life to be more productive for Christ than the beginning
wow.
years. I am.
That almost
I am
brings
thrilled.
Me to tears.
I'm happy. And so we're just gonna lay the axe at the root of the tree, be on fire for the Lord,
yeah.
and keep going.
Amen.
Keep going.
I love it so much. I'm ready too. Wherever the Lord leads us, I'm ready. Revival is now. And we see all over the news. I know they don't like to show it a lot, but
mm-hmm.
revival's everywhere right now.
Yeah.
There are people waking up.
Yeah.
They are on fire. They're ready to do the Lord's will, to stop living in sin and
mm-hmm.
just come to the Lord. And so we're seeing this. It's kind of like the harvest, you know, where there's the workers are few, you know, but the harvest is plenty. And I think that that's who God's raising up now, is the people that's going to
yes.
work.
Absolutely.
Going to be his hands and feet. He needs people, vessels.
Yeah. He needs people that has made up their mind.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
The devil cannot trick them up
mm-hmm.
and They've been through the fire. They've been through all that, and they know who has brought them through. Mm-hmm. And he's got some Ezekiels and John the Baptist and Elishas and all them folks out there. It's just a matter of finding where they're at.
Right.
It's just a matter.
You speak of John the Baptist. I never, you know, I didn't think of baptizing. It was never a thing that I had thought, what if we're not baptizing people right? That was nothing that I ever thought. Mm-hmm. I was baptized, probably 8 years old when I was baptized. And I don't remember that at all. I don't remember going to church there. Don't remember anything about it. And so when I decided to get rebaptized, I had started reading the Bible every day. I was ready for something a little more. And I went to my local church that I had been, you know, visiting at the time. And when I was baptized, it was, and I hate to say it, meaningless. It was just a very quick, when I came out, I was crying because I knew it wasn't what God was trying to show me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand, you know. Well, my son was supposed to be baptized that day as well. And it's nothing's coincidence with the Lord. But the baptismal, the hot water was the only one that worked. So the cold water wouldn't work. And it was just the hot water. It was worse than a hot tub. So the kids that had planned on being baptized, they wouldn't get in the water. And so Waylon, you know, I have my son Waylon, he's a little on that wild side. He didn't care. And he started to go in the water and the preacher stopped him. And he said, no, it's too hot. And Waylon said, I'm fine. And he said, no, it's too hot. And so he gets water like this and he pours it on Waylon's head. And Waylon was mad as fire. He said, Mama, that was not right. We've been reading the Bible. We had read, you know, every night I had started reading the Bible to my kids. And you know, they were educated. They were starting to learn right from wrong. And he said, Mama, that was not right. That was not like John the Baptist. And I was like, you know, you're right. I don't really know what I was supposed to feel, but you're right. And so the Lord had me on this journey of, you know, obviously learning more. And I started really studying and really learning. And when Rose found me, she found me on Instagram. She had liked one of my videos, you know. I didn't know who she was because I never watched anything like that. I don't watch TV. And I said her name out loud and we were with some friends and they had to check my phone. And they're like, that's Rose, Nama Eunice. And I'm like, oh, she's pretty, you know. And they're like, no. She is like a 2x world champion. And they're explaining me who she is. And so her and I were talking back and forth. And I go out to Colorado. And I met her, and as soon as I hugged her, I just knew it was different. She's kind of like my spiritual sister. And so we had a connection right away, and we got to talking about our lives. And, you know, she just mentions quickly that one day she wants to be baptized again. Time rolls on, and we talk on the phone every day. And one day she asked me to baptize her. And I kind of was joking, and I'm like, well, come on down to Kentucky, and I'll baptize you. She says, okay. And they drove 17 hours to our house here in Kentucky, and I baptized her in the creek. And when I started to walk in the water, you know, I had been researching for days of what to say, because I was like, I can't mess this up. One of the guys, he's a Gracie, which they started the martial arts, and he was here filming, you know, no pressure. First baptism, but no pressure. And when all the things that I had studied and thought I would say, I said none of them. I walked in the water, and as soon as my foot hit the water, I had the Holy Spirit power come over me like never before. Yeah. And God told me everything to say. He told me what to do, and it was nothing like I had thought I taught myself. Mm-hmm. And so from there, we started having friends where God would just stir their hearts, and they would just ask, hey, will you baptize me?
Yeah.
And so I said, well, yeah, you know, come on. And so it turned into these creek baptisms where I would just have a few people. Mm-hmm. I would baptize them. I would say what the Lord put on my tongue to say. No matter what it sounded like, I would say it. And I would, you know, I would just step in that role of what He was raising me to be. And the first big baptism event was in North Carolina. And I showed up. I had nothing, kind of like what you said in your first revival where you made two ends meet. I showed up. I slept in a tent. I had my Bible. So in my mind, I thought, well, maybe three or four people will show up. And I was very excited about it. I was just like, Lord, let it be your will be done. I'm here. And so I put the flyer out, and all I had done was just post a flyer of where I would be. Like, I'm going to be at this lake. And I thought, I really didn't have expectations of how it should go. I just told the Lord I was there, and I was ready to serve him. I baptized 54 people that day.
Oh, my goodness.
And as I looked up, they were coming down this hill in groves, just so many people. And I thought, how? You know, how? And as I would baptize people and God would give me new words to say and new revelation about people, you know, it's scary at first.
Yeah.
It was scary. And I thought, why do I know that? Like, why did I know that about that person? You mm-hmm. know, I don't know them. But as I grew and as I learned and as I kept going out as he sent me, you know, he would show me a location and I would just go. I wouldn't give it a second thought. He would show me a location and I would be there. I would put my little flyer out on socials and I would just go. And that was the way for 10 events until the Kentucky one.
Oh,
so
my.
10 events I had by myself. A lot of times I would have no help at all. No one in the water, no one helping. I would just be there myself. And as the numbers grew, the last one that I did by myself, there was 154 people I had baptized.
Oh my.
I felt underqualified. I felt like my body wasn't able. I had all of these stipulations that the devil was giving me of why I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, no, I will do it. You know, I kept teaching every day like I had been doing for years.
Yeah.
I would teach straight from the Bible, and I just let the Lord use me. I got to the point where I'm like, use me. I don't want to live this life for me. Yeah. I will give up all the things of the world.
Absolutely.
And I did. I went on that sanctification journey of just giving up anything worldly. Yeah. I was just ready for the Lord. Here I am, send me, and here I go.
Here you are.
And so now, watching God send me people, you mm-hmm. know, I prayed for that.
Yeah.
After that one where I about broke myself.
Yeah.
I came home and I paced the porch and I said, Lord, I know this is your will for my life. I know this is my calling. I'm here. I'm ready. You know, I'm eager, but can I have a little bit of help? And I prayed for help. And so, like I said, one of the last ones I did, I met Helena and Michael, mm-hmm. which you know them very well now.
Yeah.
And they were walking away from the baptism event. It was so cold. It was the coldest water I had been in my whole life. And, you know, we have some cold mountain water where we live here.
Yeah.
But it was the coldest water I had ever felt. I did not know about waders yet. And I was just in this water for 8 hours, freezing. And when I baptized Helena and Michael, they come out of the water. And as they were walking away, God loudly told both of them, help her.
Oh my.
Help her. These people that I had baptized in different states, God started putting the same calling on their life. Just that little seed of mm-hmm. help her. And they did. And they came and they started to help. And they started becoming, they just fell gracefully right into the roles of the places that I needed. And then you came along.
Oh boy.
And when I found you, it was the same call to help, like help the revival. You had seeds of revival planted from way back when in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then God showed you this revival. Like it's amazing to have revivals and just have a certain amount, like just a few people. That's all we need. But when you start going out like the Kentucky one and mm-hmm. you see 1,000 people, it's a shock to your system.
Yes, it is.
And then when you realize that God wants to send you, mm-hmm. and you say, okay, it's like we're saddling up, you know, like, here we go. You know?
When God puts a calling up on your life to do it, he'll send you the help.
Yes, he will.
To get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Because this thing, I think it's just going to continue to grow.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot to do.
Yeah. a lot to do. And, But what a joy to do it.
I know.
What a joy to do it. As I was talking to, what's the guy's name here today?
Chaz.
Taz. And I asked him down out there the other day when we was up at Carlisle, would you rather be doing anything else?
Yeah.
And he hesitated for a minute, and, And then I think I went up and led somebody else down, and mm-hmm. he said, "You asked me?" He said, "No, I'd rather not be doing anything else."
Yeah.
And
do you know why he paused?
Why?
He paused because he was trying to come up with one of your phrases. Oh. He wanted to tell you that he was happier than a two-toed tick.
On a hairless hound dog.
He couldn't remember the whole saying.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
That's exactly why he said he paused. He said, I was trying to think of what to say, but I wanted it to be something he would say. I said, Chaz, you will never be as cool as Elwood. You just stop right now.
Oh, goodness. But it's an honor and a privilege to be able to work for Christ.
I know.
And see people one to him. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather not be doing anything else.
No.
Nothing else.
Me either.
So.
There's nothing better than to be the ones to work for the Lord, you know? Like for God Almighty, just to work for him mm-hmm. is the biggest privilege we could ever have.
That lady that we baptized in Carlisle, when she hit that water.
Yeah.
And I wanted to hit that water too and rejoice with her, you know.
You should have. We won't make fun of you one bit. She just had the joy of the Lord upon her.
Yes, she did. Yep. She had been set free.
Yes.
And
yes.
Oh, I'm telling you what, if the church world could get set free.
I know.
You know.
I know.
I know they say they're free, but I won't go there. But anyway,
I go there a lot, but it's different from being, you know, you've seen the inside. Like, you've seen the churches from the inside, and you just want to take them to the outside and just say, look.
Yes.
Like, just open your eyes, because God is showing us, and, you know, he shows us through the whole Bible.
Yes,
like,
he does.
Like, Jesus' whole mission here, if we reflect upon the Gospels and mm-hmm. we look at his mission on earth, why don't we learn from those? And we, you know, take the man-made things out and just say, no, this is how Jesus taught us. This is what he actually said.
Absolutely.
You know, he didn't say to go to the synagogues and make everyone come to us.
Mm-hmm.
He said, go therefore.
That's right.
And baptize nations, you know.
Absolutely.
And so it's a privilege to go. It's a privilege to, you know, and I'm not saying that churches are bad, because you and I know that we need them.
Yeah,
we need
absolutely.
The church. We need the church. But we also need the church to start waking up a little and start feeding the people. He said, feed my sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are coming, and they are hungry, and they are hurt. And a lot of them are leaving the same way they came in.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, why do we have to have baptisms once every few, you know, few months?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to, you know, schedule it? Like, why don't we just say, oh, you ready tonight?
Yeah.
You know?
That's exactly right.
And it's gotten so far away from what God intended it to be. Now it's a ceremony of water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically just choo-choo.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's a golf clap in the church, you know? And it's such a dramatic difference from what we see now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were once blind too. We
Absolutely.
Were once thinking that it was normal as well.
Yeah.
And now when you see the truth shall set you free.
Absolutely.
And you see the truth on these people's faces and their glory, and there's much more to it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you and I talked about the process before,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people watch these videos and they do see the glory, and that's all they see.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't see is that they show up and you're preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You're teaching the line. You're showing people, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and preaching. All the people throughout the line, we have volunteers praying with them.
Yeah.
We have people that are serving on the land. And then they come down and they meet salvation teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people, if they watch all the videos, they've seen this, because they're able to see, you know, see the rotation of what we're doing. But so many people that have the religious mindset, they come in the comment sections and they'll say, well, I hope you know baptism don't save you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those points where you think, why would you ever see this beautiful person coming and being set free, and the joy on their face, and all you can think of is the water don't save you? God doesn't give you those thoughts.
That's right.
God just set that person free. You should be rejoicing with the angels.
Absolutely.
And so we encounter these things, but I want to show, and I'm like, we have the salvation teams that make sure. I mean, there is not a person, not even one, that comes to us without meeting that salvation team.
Yeah.
You know, it's a process. They go through that, and they explain what salvation is, because the thing is, a lot of people come to these waters not saved.
That's right.
They come to these waters because they saw a video on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And here they are just trusting us to show them what it means to be saved.
Yeah.
And so the salvation teams are there to explain that, and not only explain it, but to lead them to salvation.
Absolutely.
And when they lead them to salvation, then they come to us.
Yeah.
And we pray before, mm-hmm. we baptize, and we pray after.
Mm-hmm.
And so the process of it is not anything superficial. It is not a quick dunk. It is a, hey, come and experience the glory of the Lord in the way that He's taught us to show you. You know, in the biblical way. And when they leave there, they're never the same.
No, they're not.
It's been a year of me baptizing now, and we have thousands of testimonies.
Oh, my.
And the people that were set free are still free.
Amen. Because when they show the joy of Christ in their life, to an outward world out there, and they look at, well, what happened to them?
Yeah.
What happened to them?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that when Paul was saved, as he went into the city called Straight, and Ananias went in, laid his hands upon him. Well, Paul was sent someplace else, and they said, mm-hmm. well, Lord, we've heard many bad things about this cat. Through his preaching and his living for Christ showed what he really was.
Yes,
he
did.
May have been a persecutor at one time, mm-hmm. but now he become a deliverer through Jesus Christ to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big problem today, too, is people is not showing their faith.
Oh, true.
Showing their faith and telling what Christ has really done for them.
Yes.
And how He's delivered them and how He has blessed them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're missing the mark.
A
lot of them missing the mark out there because people are wanting something different than mm-hmm. what they've got.
Amen.
Because it's not working for them.
It's not.
It's not working for them.
And Jesus is showing them.
Yeah.
He's trying to rise up people to do His will
yeah.
so that, He can set them free.
Absolutely.
But they're
Absolutely.
Searching.
Yes, they are.
And that's beautiful.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Yes,
I'm ready
is.
For it. Seek and you shall find.
Mm-hmm. Knock and there shall be open.
Mm-hmm. So, with baptizing, we essentially watch the Bible come to life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we watch the stuff that the disciples did, and we watch that in front of us happen. And sometimes it can be scary. Sometimes it can be heavy. And it's not what we were taught. I grew up in church my whole life. My grandpa was a pastor. And I wasn't taught anything about demons. That's mm-hmm. like a word that people don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
They want to plug their ears immediately. And I understand. I understand because it's not something we were taught. Even though it's in the Bible constantly, is something that people tiptoed around. They're just scared to address the fact of the matter that there are demons, that they're real, that people are oppressed. They allow things in, spirits mm-hmm. of addiction.
Absolutely.
Spirits of anger, spirits of problems in their lives, and it's got them. And it's got a hold on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people are scared to realize it because no one wants to think, oh, I might have a demon. No one wants to think that. And so when they hear the word, it's instant frustration because they don't understand it. But it's all there if they read.
Yes.
And if they see what the disciples did, then they can really understand that this is real.
Absolutely. And a lot of people has laughed at me and everything else. But I didn't believe in demons.
I didn't either.
I absolutely did not believe in demons.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And Deb, my wife, she said, Elwood, she said, if you'll seek...
Ooh.
The Lord will show you. And I did.
Because
I said, there ain't no such thing. I seek the Lord out on this. And I was going to work one morning. It seemed like everything opened up and God just let me see in a spiritual realm.
Yes.
And I seen my car ahead of me. And I seen me driving right into that car.
Oh, wow.
But there was a lady walking on the side of the road. And they're out in there. There don't need to be no lady walking by herself outside the road.
Yeah.
And I seen the brake lights come on that car. And I stopped and opened the door
okay,
and
cool,
let
chills.
Her again.
Okay.
And when she got in and she shut the door, the moon was over here on the left. But when she got in and shut the door and I started out, Kayla, I'm telling you what, I seen the hair begin to grow on it. I seen its mouth begin to intrude out.
Wow.
And it turned its head right over my head with its jaws open.
Yeah.
And the only thing I could say was, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you.
Ooh.
in the name of Jesus. And I kept on going down the road, and I could see that it was within the shadow of the moon there. And finally, it just turned around. And as I went on out the ridge, it just disappeared.
Wow.
But when I hit the mountain parkway, I could feel the presence of that thing in my car. I couldn't wait to get out of that car.
Yeah.
And I parked under a nightlight out there, and I got out of that thing, and I ran to get in the building. But just before I went inside, I looked back, and I could still feel the presence wow. of that demon spirit
yep.
in my car. But the presence was yep. real.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's my experience. And these are the demons that was made for hell.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what the hell was made for, the devil and his
yes.
his demons, mm-hmm. his angels. And yep. here I've got one in my car. And I got home and I told Deb all that. And she said, I told you so. But I'll tell you, I don't want never another experience like that.
No.
Never another one.
No.
And I know people, I've told people that, and they've looked at me and laughed like I was nuts, you know. But that's all right.
That is okay.
Know.
Yeah.
I know what got in that car that morning. It was something else. And I don't care what they say. There'll never be nobody convince me that there is not demons.
Oh, I know.
Because they yep. are here.
We have baptized a few people, and they manifest for a moment.
Yeah.
And when I see it, I mean, it's scary, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I never liked horror. I've never liked,
no.
you know, I've never been into things of the darkness, and I still don't like it, but God gives us authority.
Yeah.
And now that I know, you know, that we do have spiritual authority, I can stand in it.
Yeah.
And whenever I'm faced with one, it immediately, I'm mm-hmm. like, out in the name of Jesus. Like, it does not hold.
Yeah.
Like, it's not staying around me.
That's right.
I had a lady who told me, she actually brought her son to be baptized. And as I baptized her son, he came out of the water. She looked at me, and it was just for a glance. She's just like, can you pray for me too? I've already been baptized, but can you pray for me too? I kind of saw darkness for a second, and I was like, yep, here I go.
Yeah.
And I placed my hand on her, and as soon as I placed my hand on her, I knew it was witchcraft. Yeah. And I'm like, in the name of Jesus, I break all spirits of witchcraft. And she fainted. And I'm like,
oh my.
Yep. And so when she did, you know, she come to, and I told her, look at me, you know, and she did, and I made sure her eyes yeah. were clear. And she said, I had no idea something was there. And it was that moment when she realized, you know, the weight of what was gone.
Yeah.
Then she realized, oh, man, something was there. Yeah. Something was wrong. And I think that a lot of people are realizing now as they, you know, whether they want to believe the spiritual mm-hmm. realm's real or not, we are fleshly beings, but we are spiritual beings.
That's
you
right.
know, when we accept eternity, it's not when we die. We accept eternity when we're alive, mm-hmm. you know, and eternal life is our spirit.
That's right.
And so when people don't understand that we have a spiritual realm mm-hmm. and they just want to live in the physical, I get it. You know,
yeah.
it's easy to live in the physical.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
easier to live in the flesh because, you know, you can block these things out. But just because your eyes are not open and your ears
yeah.
are not open doesn't mean it's not real.
That's right.
And when they humble themselves enough mm-hmm. to come to the water and, you know, to come to someone that mm-hmm. can help them, and then they're delivered, they're like, oh, wow. So many people just want to brush past it in the Bible,
yeah.
though. And, you know, Jesus, when he came to show us what to do, when he walked here on earth,
mm-hmm.
he was teaching us to heal the sick,
yeah.
to cast out demons.
Yeah, that's right.
And people are just scared of it.
Yeah.
They're just scared. They want the soft side of religion. They
mm-hmm.
want the sides, you know, but you can't pick and choose the
no.
Bible. You know, sometimes I feel like I want to ask people, how can you believe in Jesus if you don't believe in anything that he did?
That's right.
You know, how do you just believe in his resurrection, but you don't believe in none of his other teachings?
Absolutely.
And so bringing those things, that's why I teach every day on these socials, is because I'm trying to show people the real Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not watered down. It's
that's
still
right.
strong. The word of God holds forever. And I make sure, you know, no sugarcoating,
mm-hmm.
you know, no skipping past this. The whole Bible is to be taught in truth.
Absolutely.
Not anything to be scared about, because the Lord came to show us authority.
Yes, he did.
He sent us his helper. He sent us the Spirit. And, you know, it's up to us whether we reject the Holy Spirit or not.
I just want more of it.
Yeah. I want to set everybody free. I
yeah.
am so ready when I see these people, and whether they want to call it demons or whether they just want to say that they're in chains. It doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. If they don't want to acknowledge it, it really doesn't matter. What does matter is that they want to be set free.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what they call it. Doesn't matter what they think it is. They just realize that it is not of God.
Yeah, right.
And if it's not of God, then it's of the devil.
Absolutely.
And so I'm ready for all the things of God. I'm ready to show people light. You know, the light always outshines the darkness.
Yes, it does.
But it has to be someone's choice. If they want to keep that darkness and hold on to it, or if they're ready to let it go and live in the light.
If they want freedom, they'll come to the light.
That's right.
And that's where you'll find freedom is in the light of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's not in the darkness.
No.
Because it won't give you freedom.
No.
But Christ will give you the freedom that your whole heart wants and you deserve it, mm-hmm. because he came to give us freedom. He came to give us a better life, and what more could we ask for than to ask that from Jesus Christ? You ain't going to get it at the First Church of Walmart. You're not going to get it out here any place else. It's got to come from Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
Absolutely.
Those are the things that keeps us fired up for the next one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is to just know that there are going to be people out there that mm-hmm. are going to be starving.
Yep.
And Jesus told us to feed his sheep, and we're ready.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And that's what we'll do.
That's what we'll do. I'm ready for it. Send me, oh Lord, I'm here. And so is Elwood.
Yep,
we're ready. Elwood, I thank you so much for being on this podcast.
No.
We just thank you for saying yes. You could have said no. We all have free will, but you said yes to being our revival pastor, and you have blessed more people than I know. You don't even want the acknowledgement, but you have blessed so many people. And there are times in that water that I am just so grateful that God has raised up a humble pastor like you. And we are the ones blessed. I know you keep saying you're blessed by the ministry and you're blessed to work for the Lord, but we are blessed with you. So we just thank you for being on your first podcast ever. And I think that the people are probably thrilled to hear your stories and just to see this side of you.
Oh, my.
So thank you for sharing that with them.
You're very welcome. Very welcome.
Let's go save the world.
That's it.